Would you pray with me again? Father, I love you and I love your word. And I thank you that I have the privilege now of standing here in honor of you and of this man to preach a little bit from it, to offer us some comfort in what is yet to come in the future. What an appropriate song to proceed this message. We know a day is coming when death will have no more sway, when this man will live again with us in your kingdom. Help me point everyone here to that hope in this brief word that I bring. Have your glory in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sharon asked me if I planned on preaching Curtis's funeral. Sherry Lee asked me if I would be able to. I told her I will do the best I can. It may not be too smooth and polished, but Curtis wasn't very smooth or polished, so it ought to fit in quite well. I wouldn't have it any other way. First, of course, because I love my Lord and I love His Word and the opportunity to preach it, but also because I love this man. I had the privilege of preaching when the Lord saved him, as well as when the Lord called him to serve as a deacon. So I think it is only fitting that I have the privilege of preaching his funeral, now that the Lord has called him home. In what I have to say, you will hear both my personal reflections on Curtis and my preaching of God's Word. I first met Curtis 22 years ago when I was 18, and Bill took me to his and Sharon's apartment. I don't know if Sharon remembers that. One of her properties in Oklahoma City. I remember Curtis sitting in his recliner, watching TV, facing away from the front door when we walked in. And he didn't take much notice of me. I got one of those when Curtis told him who I was. Sharon stood there and talked to us for a few minutes. He might have paid more attention to me if he had known that, with the help of his wife and his brother-in-law, I would marry his daughter 7 years later. That might have made a difference. After our 15 years together, there are four characteristics of Curtis that stand out to me, and I'm just speaking from my perspective. I'm not presuming to speak for anybody else. But in the 15 years of being this man's son-in-law, one of his adopted sons, these are some things that stood out before I get to the message from the Word. Dependability. It just seemed to me that Curtis was always there. You could count on him to keep his word and to lend a hand, even through all the muss and fuss, and there could be a lot of that. You could count on him to do what needed to be done, ultimately, and to get a job done. It just struck me about him all the years I knew him. He was solid. Durability. The man had grit. Now, he was gruff, but he was one of the grittiest men I've ever known. He was a rough, sawn, callous specimen of a man who had no qualms about enduring the discomforts of hard work. It jumped out at me about him. Simplicity. Curtis didn't need a lot to be happy. I don't know another man who could be more content just sitting in his yard drinking a cup of coffee with a shirt on his back, a roof over his head, and his wife by his side. I mean, for Curtis, that just had life sewed up for him. Authenticity. I never saw Curtis try to fake something he wasn't. And I watched him. He was who he was with everyone, not putting on one face for one and another face for another. Now, some might have thought that his face was not the most pleasant face they had ever seen, but they knew when they looked at Curtis, they were seeing his real face. They were getting the real Curtis. He was authentic. The most important thing that can be said about Curtis, though, Curtis himself would tell you he can't take credit for, and that is that he is, and I say present tense deliberately, he is a Christian. He belongs to Jesus Christ. And those of you that know me well know that I wouldn't say that if I didn't believe it. From John 11, 25 and 26, I want to talk about the reasons Curtis is a Christian and the hope Curtis has in being a Christian. Again, present tense, not past. In those two verses, the Apostle John records some words of Jesus which he spoke in comforting a grieving sister who didn't understand why he let her brother die from his sickness. Jesus said, what Jesus said to her is the only real comfort we can have in facing death. I want to read to you John 11, 25 and 26 now. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. The reasons Curtis is a Christian. There are two reasons Curtis is a Christian that I find in these verses. Life in Jesus and belief in Jesus. One is what motivated him to become a Christian, and the other is what made him a Christian. First, life in Jesus. Jesus said to Martha in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. This is what motivated Curtis to become a Christian. God opened Curtis's eyes to see in Jesus the resurrection from the dead, the way back from the dead, and the only life that can be lived beyond death. When he came forward at the end of one of my messages out here at Crossroads Free Will Baptist Church at 63 years old, I told him then, you're one in 7 million, because that's the statistic of people who get saved at his age. 1 in 7 million. At 63 years old, he came forward to profess his faith in Jesus. And when he did that, he was being driven by the Holy Spirit in the realization that he needed life in Jesus. And that leads me to point out his belief in Jesus. Jesus says there, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. That is what made Curtis a Christian, his belief in Jesus. He believes in Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about generic belief in which Curtis thought that Jesus was out there somewhere watching over him and he felt really good about that. That's not where Curtis was on this, and that's not what I mean now. What I'm talking about is the belief of a personal, submissive, and trusting relationship with Jesus. Curtis surrendered himself to Jesus and he invested all his trust in Jesus to make him right with God and to give him a home in heaven, in the kingdom of God. That was his testimony. And that leads us to look at the hope Curtis has in being a Christian. There are two sides to this coin of the hope Curtis has in being a Christian. Life after death and life without death. The hope Curtis has in being a Christian begins with life after death. Jesus says in verse 25 again, he who believes in me will live even if he dies. Curtis is still alive. For many, that's a fairy tale. They just don't know the facts that the Bible lays down for us. Curtis is still alive. As the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:8, he is absent from his body, and he is at home with the Lord right now. He is alive and well, better than he's ever been, I can assure you. And he is not someone or something else. This is important for us to understand. He's not an angel. He's not a ghost. He is still Curtis, perfected in the spiritual state, at rest in the presence of Jesus, waiting for the resurrection on the last day when roses will bloom again. And after that, he will look forward to and forever enjoy life without death. We know this because Jesus says in verse 26, everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. As Paul points to in 1 Corinthians 15, Curtis will be raised from his grave under his shade tree at Crossroads Cemetery. Maybe then I will get my hug, because he sure didn't want to give it to me while he was alive, since I wasn't a pretty woman. And he will be a changed man. He will be incorruptible. He will be immortal. Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3:13, according to God's promise, we are waiting for a new heavens and a new earth in which there will be nothing but righteousness. All the wickedness, all the corruption of the world now will be gone. Jesus Christ will return. He will set up the kingdom of God in the new heavens and the new earth. And in that wonderful environment of paradise restored, Curtis will never die again. After Jesus offered those words of assurance to Martha, he asked her a critical question. In verse 26, he asked her, "Do you believe this? Do you believe this?" For Curtis's hope to be your hope, I hope you can answer the way she did and the way Curtis did at 63 years old. She said to him in verse 27, "Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God." I want to say one more thing about Curtis before I hand it back over to Gloria. A man has to be a special kind of daddy for his daughter to love him the way Shirley loves her daddy. I've always been taken back by the relationship they had. After Shirley and I realized that Sharon and Bill had done us a favor in fixing us up, and we told them all we were going to get married, Curtis asked me, took me aside, I don't know if I'd even told Shirley this. He took me aside and he asked me, "Are you going to take care of my little girl?" Exactly what he said. And you can imagine how he said it. I assured him that I would. I know that at the end of our life together, I will have been a good husband if I can make her feel as special as my wife, as Curtis, made her feel as his daughter. Glory.